Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including Intuka trying to smash it into one word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Intuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, all offseason, the Jaguars seem to be talking a lot about the AFC Championship game. The Jalen Ramsey, of course, came out, had some words about Gronk and some other players. Do you have to talk to your guys about not getting into a war of words with the Jaguars or having to deal with some of that back and forth?
Yeah, Ben. Well, it's look, we know when the game starts, and we'll be ready to go. I'm sure they will too, and that's when we'll see what happens.
All right, let's see what happens. Let's start with that. Let's start football. We were heavy baseball to start the program yesterday, so you listen to the 2 o'clock hour. We'll give you your Patriots fix. Felger Maz, fully loaded program. We got Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass. Big Jim Murray in our update studio. Maz in the Maz chair. Hi, Anthony.
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you. Felger in the a-hole chair. We have some developing opinions about this week, but you want to start football? Anything with the Patriots across the league? Anything that strikes you fancy football-wise? Now is your chance to jump in at 617-779-0985 is your phone number. Maz, you have some developing opinions on this game.
I do. So let me ask you this question. If this were, I don't know, call it 10 years ago, and this were Patriots-Colts in week two, how would we be reacting?
If this were 10 years ago and it were Patriots-Colts in week two, how would we be reacting?
Right. Peyton Manning with the Colts, Brady with the Patriots. If this were week two and they were playing the Colts, how would we react?
Big game.
So I think that's where we are. These are the two teams who were in the AFC Championship game last year.
So you're giving Jacksonville that kind of yank.
Well, I'm telling you that it could be. I mean, how do we know that it isn't? So look, all I'm telling you is that these were the two teams in the AFC Championship game last year. The AFC in general is devoid of contenders, or so it seems. And you never know where one's going to pop out of the woodwork. And this Jacksonville defense is good. It's young. They have a quarterback that's young. Maybe they're going to be here for years to come. And I said this to you yesterday. This game's big for the Jags. I mean, if the Jags are legit, and I was listening to Adam Schefter talk about it a little bit this morning, too, on the Worldwide Leader. If the Jags are legit, if the Jags win this game, and they win it in somewhat convincing fashion, don't you look at them and say, they're legit. And not only that, what if they get home field?
I have such a hard time treating Jacksonville like that.
I'm not telling you you should yet. I'm just telling you that after the game, you may be left with that reality.
I have some institutional, you know, I'm a Jaguarist.
A Jagist.
I'm a Jagist. I just think they are genetically engineered to fail. I do. And so I have a hard time. Like, if the Patriots go down there and lose, do I have to elevate Jacksonville to that group?
Sure.
I do.
If they play well, yeah.
I can't take them seriously, Maz. I can't take them seriously yet.
I can. Because I think and sooner or later, we're going to get to a point here where there's going to be a changing of the guard in the AFC. Sooner or later. And I've already told you, I think there's a possibility here that the Patriots have already played their last Super Bowl under Belichick Brady, under that combination.
And you think Jacksonville's like the heir apparent?
I don't know if they are or they aren't. I'm just telling you that this kind of game could be the one that gives us an answer or some glimpse into it.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, so I just think it's an important, it's a big game for the Jags. It's a big game for Jack. Now, if Jacksonville loses, you'll be right.
So I think
I'm just telling you, I think it's Jacksonville's going to treat it as a big game because it is a big game for them.
Yeah, I think it's an early kind of statement game for them, especially. Well, they should have won the AFC championship game up here. I mean, or if I'm a Jaguar, that's how I'm feeling. Like, we had that game. We had them beat. We outplayed them for most of the game. We should have won that game. And then we talk some mess in the offseason, and now we get them in week two at home. So you sort of got to, if you are what you think you are, you have to back that up. So I think it's important, and you know, in that respect, in terms of like hierarchy and passing of the, like, those sort of things.
No, it's not passing of the torch, but I think if they win it and they win convincingly, Jacksonville, I would take them more seriously. I would look at them as a threat, like I did with the Jets in 2009 and 2010. Like, they're a team on the come. They're a little bit dangerous. They got a really good defense, but like an heir apparent in the AFC. No, I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that the Patriots are a lot closer to the end now than they were when they played the Jets in 2010.
So look, let me tell you about the heir apparent, that sort of thing. Like, over the years, I've been more than willing to search out that team. I've wanted that team. It was the Jets. It was the Broncos. It was the Ravens. Like, I'm more than happy to say, no, oh, you know, you've been passed. Like, I'm waiting for it. I'm looking for it, 18 years and counting. So I'll go there. I just can't, like, I felt that way about the Jets, certainly in 09, 010, in that range. I felt that way about the Broncos here for a little bit. The Ravens, like, I take those teams seriously. I did, especially Denver and Baltimore. When you really look back, I still do. Like, I still have sort of institutional respect for those organizations that I think if they get their act together, they're a real threat to you. The Jaguars? I just can't.
No, and you shouldn't. I mean, if this team made a play for a bigger name quarterback that they could, you know, rely on to actually win them games, like a Kirk Cousins in the offseason, then I think you could make a case for them saying, okay, this is a real team in the AFC that could have some sustained success. They did nothing at the most important position. They stuck with Blake Bortles, who blows.
And I don't take the coach seriously. Maybe I should. But, you know, this week, we'll play this time coming up, even more reason not to take Doug Marrone seriously. I don't take him seriously. I don't. I certainly don't take that quarterback seriously. So what? You're gonna
Coughlin thing, I think, is a factor. It was for me in the postseason last year, and that continues.
100%. I take that dude seriously. No question about it. But you've got a really, really below average quarterback, and that's maybe being kind. He might be a bottom 5 or 10 guy in the league. And the coach is a borderline bozo. So you're going to win on defense and a running back or running game. No, I'm sorry. I don't take you seriously. But maybe I should, because that's kind of what the Ravens, Jets, and Broncos did. Like, that's, they had a defense and they didn't have great quarterbacks. And so, you know what I'm saying? The only thing that really did that beat you with great quarterbacks, and that was the Peyton Manning Colts. Other than that, it's been the defensive team. So maybe I'm just, like, I'm sort of arguing against myself. I just have a hard time. Maybe it's the Adam Jones thing, the two-tone helmet. I can't take you seriously with your black and turquoise helmet.
Oh, they got rid of those this season.
Yeah, and they did. The helmets are better, so it's a little more serious. I can't take you seriously with the tarped-off sections of your stadium. I can't take you seriously because you're in Jacksonville.
No, I'm with you on this. They've been around, what, 25 years now? They still feel like an expansion team to me. They've always been an expansion team to me.
Jacksonville.
I'm just telling you, it's a big game for the Jags.
It is. It's their home opener. It is.
You guys can believe whatever the hell you want to believe.
No, Matt.
I'm just telling you, it's a big game for the Jags.
It is. And they, you know, look, they want to get over this Patriots hump. They feel like they took their foot off the gas in the second half of the AFC Championship game, which they did. They should have probably won that game if they didn't get conservative. So, yeah, they want to set the tone here and let the league know we're for real. And it's their home opener. Like, the people are going to be up for it. It's going to be a big game. It is a big game.
I just think too many people, you know, again, and maybe I'm just pissed off at the whole thing that I saw with the power rankings of Stephen A. Smith.
You're still on that.
Having the Patriots ranked as the number one team in the league, and I'm looking at them saying, you've got to be kidding me. We all had all these questions about the Patriots going into week one. Then they beat Houston, who might as well have played without a quarterback. Really, they might as well have played without a quarterback. And all of a sudden now it's like everything's back to normal in the AFC. I just don't see it that way. I think that there's a chance Jacksonville's defense is going to be a handful for the Patriots this weekend. And I don't know, maybe Gronk will have 18 catches for 230 yards. How the hell do I know?
Yeah, but
I don't think the Patriots have anywhere to go other than Gronk.
But you understand, though, like those power rankings, they're factoring in the fact this is the team that represented the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Tom Brady's still playing at a very high level. You're also looking a little bit forward here, too. So where would you put them? Like, who would be, if for people, that, and it seems like most, CBS Sports, ESPN, they either have them 1-2 back and forth either with Minnesota.
I'm just telling you, they're not number one, and they're more vulnerable than they've been in a long time. That's all I'm telling you.
So where are they? 5?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, they're still up there. They're still Brady. They're still really good.
Because there's flaws with any other teams that you could put at 1 or 2. Like, if you want to make a case for Minnesota, to me, they beat a backup quarterback who didn't really have a lot of weapons, and they were at home, and they have a new quarterback in Kirk Cousins.
Whoa. Minnesota beat a backup quarterback?
He's trying to bait me.
Yeah, that's how he came into the league, as a backup quarterback.
I love it. So did Brady.
I thought Cousins played pretty well in that game, actually, myself. Just my two cents. So I'm just telling you, I you know, it's not even about the power ranking per se, Murray. It's about this whole idea that one game against a Houston team that didn't have a quarterback, all of a sudden everything's right in Patriots land. Like, I don't get that. To me, that game was a little deceiving because I thought Watson absolutely sucked. He was horrendous.
But you understand we can say the exact same thing this week. Because,
sure,
on paper, Jacksonville's a legit opponent. But they could play really poorly like Houston did last week.
Of course they could.
And they have no quarterback. So I have less faith in that quarterback than Deshaun Watson. So we could say the same thing this week, that you don't really know anything about the Patriots coming out of this game. So, like, that's just what makes it hard. And I just have, boy, do I have a hard time with Jacksonville taking that outfit seriously. Coughlin's, you know, that's really one of the reasons to believe, I think. You know, a couple of the elements to this game. Well, and here's one thing. Look, and that's not to say that Jacksonville can't win, because I do think about this spot. You know, this is sort of every year the Patriots, even when they're going 14-2 or 13-3, there's always a spot. You know, I want to call it a scheduled loss, but it's not quite like that. But it's a spot where you would look at and you'd go back in hindsight and say, yeah, of course they dropped that one. The early season game at Miami, an early season game at Kansas City, any game at Denver, right? You just sort of look back and say, yeah, of course. Like, I mean, do you realize that they started out 2-2 last year and then they went whatever that is, 11-1 the rest of the way?
Mm-hmm.
Where was the one loss? Do you remember it?
At Miami.
At Miami. So like you look back and go, well, yeah, of course they lost at Miami. They always funky stuff always happens.
And Gronk was out of that game. Brady's chucking up hospital balls for the most of that first half. It was an ugly game.
I barely remember it. It's a Monday night game. Do you remember one sniff of that game?
Not really, no.
God. But anyway, I wonder if this is sort of one of those spots in Florida, early season. You usually have a hiccup in the season. Is this not a scheduled loss, but one you look back at and you say, okay, well, that's one, you know, that was going to be a tough spot for him. And I think you have that. If you're on Jacksonville, I think the spot favors Jacksonville.
I mean, I like the Jags this week. That's all I'm telling you.
So do I, and it's because of that. When the schedule came out, and then I saw that, oh, this is Jacksonville's home opener too, and they went on the road last week with the Giants. Like, now they're feeling it a little bit. You've had all this trash talk from Jalen Ramsey over the summer with all these interviews that he's done, and they can back it up. I mean, that front seven's really good. You hear Belichick talk for 5 minutes about that Yannick Ngakoue yesterday, and rightfully so. They can back it up defensively. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough go for the Patriots on Sunday.
Okay, and then there's the whole Gronkowski thing. How do you handle Gronkowski this week? You know he wants to go against Ramsey. You know that you need him, given the state of your receiving core. You used him heavily last week. There's, you know, everyone understands the sort of challenge that's been laid between Ramsey and him already. Do you really need the game? How do you handle Gronkowski this week? That's another thing I want to get to. So let's start football with your calls at 617-779-0985.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What are your overall thoughts just on the Jaguars?
It's pretty tough. You know, they were a great team last year. Gave us everything we could handle into the championship game. They're at it again this year. They got the same players, similar scheme, and is as good as any defense we'll face all year. They got an incredible rush, great linebackers, great secondary. It's going to be very, very challenging, tough environment, and we'll see what made up.
I'm also curious of the Patriots and how much they put into this. If you're the Patriots, how important is it for you? How much you put into it, Maz? Is this a big one for you?
No, I think it's more important to the Jags than it is to the Patriots. Because the Jags are looking for credibility. The Patriots already have it. Again, they beat a team without a quarterback, and everybody's giving them the number one ranking in the league, for crying out loud. And I just don't see it yet. But the Jags, the Jags have to prove they can beat a heavyweight. I mean, they went to Pittsburgh last year and won, don't get me wrong. But, you know, now you got to prove that the 1 year wasn't a fluke. You get the Patriots on your own turf. The game means more to the Jags, I think.
Don't you think there's some weeks where the Patriots just say, I know there's so few, and I'm getting in trouble. What do you mean by that? Where they just say, like, take it. Or not take it, but, you know, we're not firing all of our guns. It's more important to you than it is to us. Go ahead. Celebrate a championship in September and October. Go nuts. You know, have it. Big deal. We're about getting healthy and about building towards December and January like we normally do. And so, yeah, go nuts. Do you ever think they handle games like that?
Sure.
I don't think this is one of them.
Okay, why?
Based on some of those responses from Gronk, Brady, and Belichick yesterday. That Belichick acknowledged the Jalen Ramsey thing.
Thank you.
To me, tells me that I'm going to end up likely being wrong about this game, and they want to go down there and pound this team into oblivion. Like, oh, you're going to talk this kind of talk because you played a close game against us? Like, no, we're going to assert ourselves and show you still who's the dominant team in this conference and shove it right up their keisters.
And that's sort of what I wonder. How do you handle that if you're the Patriots?
I found that interesting, that the three of them, because in the past, it seems to me that they would usually ignore that kind of stuff and it would just be the typical boilerplate answers, that they all were pretty open about that, as much as they can be. I thought it was sort of telling that they're going to take this seriously.
I wonder if in some ways, Bill treats this as a way to you know, let's early season, let's wake our team up. Or early season, it's a way to get all of our attentions here in the early going. And that's a good thing, and that's sort of why he played into it yesterday, which is so rare for him, right? We know what time the game starts. We played the cut off the top. It's like, so maybe in some respects, he actually wants it this year for whatever reason. And one of those reasons would be, I think they need a good start because of the Palace Q. Because if they get off to one of these shaky starts where all the noise, you know, generates, they've been so good at ignoring the noise and circling the wagons over the years. Is it going to be harder now that they hate each other like poison? So Bill knows this. We can't have a 2-2 start this year. And so he's gotten their attention early. Does that tie into the way they're using Gronkowski, which is, I think, liberally, more liberally than I think they would want to in a regular season setting, running him down the seam, exposing him to all those hits, throwing him up in double coverage. And so is this sort of managed by Bill that, you know what, actually this year we could use a good start. And then we'll see where we are in the middle of the year. And because you can't go full throttle all 16 weeks, that usually doesn't work out. So there's pacing here. But is he deciding that September is not the time to do it? And so this is a good week for him to wake his team up. Hear what these guys are saying about you?
I mean, maybe it's weeks one and two and not all of September. I mean, after this week, have you taken a good look at their schedule?
At Detroit, home Miami?
Detroit, Miami, Indy, then Kansas City, but here. Okay, that's a home game. Then at Chicago, at Buffalo. I mean, they should be able to, like, steamroll pretty much every one of those opponents with maybe the exception of Kansas City. Right? This is probably the hardest game they're going to play in the first half of the season.
All right, so I think there's some interesting angles there to this game. Let's go to your phones, as promised. Ernie and Rivera, lead us off. What do you got, Ernie?
Yeah, you know, teams like Jacksonville, they need this game, and they got about a year or two before everybody wants to get paid $100 million. That's what happens to these teams. Just like Seattle. Oh, they were so good, but guess what? Now they had to pay Wilson, they had to pay Sherman, they had to pay this one, but then there was Denver. Oh, they're so good. Then they had to pay this one.
Ernie.
The linebacker took $100 million.
Ernie.
And this is what happens to these teams.
You're so wrong.
They get cash cows, and they can't replace the players.
You're so wrong.
The Patriots have for 12, 15 years.
Ernie.
They know how to do it.
Okay, they're replacing their players. Stop talking for a second if you want to have a conversation. The Patriots have lost more players to the salary cap than Denver.
Yeah, but they got coaching, right? That'll make them.
You're missing it.
Replace those players.
You're missing it. They didn't replace those players. A lot of the players that came in to replace those guys sucked. Do you know what the Patriots have that Denver doesn't?
Brady.
Thank you.
Yeah, but they also have a. They also rebuild by going when they things are rebuilding year is going to the AFC Championship.
Because they have Brady, and their coach is excellent. I'll give you the coach. He's much more of a chance to coach up some bum than John Fox or Vance Joseph or whatever's in Denver or, you know, John Harbaugh in Baltimore. You're right about that. But those teams didn't run into trouble because they overspent. They ran into trouble because they don't have a quarterback. I mean, do you really think Denver? That happened to Denver, or did Peyton Manning retire? And they had nobody, and Elway blew the next quarterback.
What about Seattle?
So that's closer to the bone, but I don't consider them a competitor to the Patriots. But I think that I think that's a fair assessment of Seattle. I do, yeah.
I mean, to me, it feels like they did. Their defense got greedy, and then the thing just deteriorated. Because to me, as soon as Wilson got his contract, all of a sudden everything changed out there. That's what it felt like to me.
I mean, do you know how many good, but like you?
But again, I don't know if that's a cap thing as much as it is a budget thing. Well, but anyway, go ahead.
So I mean, if it happened to Seattle, it did. I'm not gonna. I think that's fair. It did happen to Seattle. Do you know how many good defensive players you've lost here in the last 3-4 years?
A lot.
Who you couldn't pay? And I'm not saying in hindsight you should have. I'm just saying because of money, because of the cap, if you believe in that, you couldn't sign Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Darrell Revis, Aqib Talib, Logan Ryan, Akeem Hicks, Malcolm Butler.
You know, when you rattle them all off.
I mean,
like
let me
that.
Just keep. I mean, that's just off the top of my head.
That's a hell of a defense.
I'm sure I've missed some. I mean, you've lost a lot of players because of money. So whatever's happened, that happened here, except you've got Brady to cover up for all those mistakes. And yes, your coach is better and can get more out of some bum fill-in than these other coaches. So that second part's right. But again, these other teams crash because of the salary cap. Would you stop with that?
Oh, no. No. It's Brady. It's Brady. It's totally Brady. And Brady allows him to do it that way. His whole skill set does.
And by the way, when the Colts had a quarterback, they were good for about 12 straight years, every single year. Just like you, except when they got to the postseason, they puked on themselves. But They didn't have to recycle like these other teams do. Why? They had Peyton Manning. So keep prattling on about the salary cap if you want. It's ridiculous. Super Pat, what do you got for us? Super Pat calls us from Jacksonville. Hi, Super Pat.
Hey, what's up, Tony and Mike? How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Long-time listener and love your show. Well, you guys are right about this game. I mean, and every year I circle a game that I'm worried about every year. And this one I definitely circled. But, you know, they got some injuries that, you know, that they're hiding under the radar. Their running back's a little beat up, and so is two of their linebackers aren't doing well. They didn't practice all week, all three of them. So that's good, I guess. But I hope Bill has them ready because they're on the radio every morning, these guys, especially Jalen, and saying, this is our game. This is what we're waiting on. And, you know, we're just ready for them.
Right. So for Jacksonville, it means something. And these, you know, they're holding out Fournette. Are they holding out Miles Jack?
I don't know. That's the first I heard of that.
If, you know, if they were and those guys were okay, I'd give Doug Marrone a little credit. I guess that's what they should be doing, line and wait a little bit or playing with the injury report. And, you know, maybe there's a Coughlin influence there. I mean, we'll see. You know how I feel, that if Fournette's healthy and they plan to feature him, they're port. You know, that's just not how they're going to win the game. And in some respects, Fournette being out actually helps them. Is that second running back, the little pass catcher? Who
Grant.
Is he still playing?
I think so. I mean, I know he's on the roster. I think he played last week.
He's a guy that killed in the playoffs last year, I thought.
I mean, if Jacksonville's smart, they'll use a similar formula to the one they used last year, which is, you know, try to throw, get a lead, and then control the game with your defense. Because if they get behind, then they're in trouble.
No question.
But they're going to have to get out in front early because that's the way Belichick loves to play from in front. So does Brady. Once they get you on your heels, you're screwed.
So then crowd gets up, pass rush gets going, the crowd gets up, strip sack. Like, that's the formula for Jacksonville to me, like a Denver formula. Tank and Lemonster. Go ahead, Tank. What do you got on the Pats?
All right. 2 weeks ago, I felt just like Maz did, that the dynasty was over. Been around too long. Had too many lucky breaks, and then I saw him play Texas, and I said, nah, maybe I'm wrong. Are they going after Dez Bryant or Golden Tate? Are they going after a marquee wide receiver that's going to stretch the field?
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there. Zoe still thinks so, right?
Yeah, I still think that somewhere along the line they're going to get a receiver here. I mean, maybe it's at the deadline. I don't know. But I can't imagine they're going to be able to make it through healthy with the bodies they have. I just don't see how that's going to work. So Belichick's got to have something up his sleeve, and maybe he's got a, you know, a handshake deal with Dez, and it's just, you're going to join us in week 9.
Why? I don't get that. As opposed to week 2, the guaranteed contract thing is over. Week 1 is passed. That's really the...
More time to get hurt? I don't know. I'm just, you know, yeah. Edelman's coming back in week 5, right? So, you know, let's see where, you know, maybe he looks at it from the standpoint of, let's see where we are then, and why, you know, why introduce a longer season to a guy who might not make it all the way through anyway. I don't know. I'm throwing stuff against the wall.
And to me, if Dez was coming, you know, this was the week. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll keep talking about it, obviously, but I feel like if it wasn't week 2, it wasn't going to happen. We get back to your phones. I want to ask about the Gronkowski thing coming up, too. How would you treat him this week? Are you careful with him, or did you release the hounds with Rob Gronkowski in week 2? But I do also want to weigh in on this top 100 NBA players thing that came out yesterday with some interesting Celtics rankings. We'll get to that after this update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, this came out yesterday, but like many things with me, I need to do it the next day. I need to pretend like I'm reading in the newspaper and then react to it. So I'm always a day late, which is bad in this environment. And if you're 2 minutes late, you're late. But whatever. Here it is. Sports Illustrated did a ranking of the top 100 players in the NBA.
Yes.
Can I ask you, who did the voting?
I don't know.
Do we know? Jimmy Stewart, do you know?
It is Sports Illustrated. I can get you the name of the author in a moment here.
No, but is it based on like GM voting, player voting, media voting, just this guy's opinion? Like who's determining it? That's what I'd be curious to know. But anyway, as we're endeavoring on that, they rank the top 100 players.
It looks like it's two authors. It's Ben and Rob, who are just SI writers.
And that's it.
Ben and Rob.
Just Ben and Rob at Sports Illustrated.
Yes. Yeah, no relation to Ben Ted.
And this isn't based off of an informal polling of general managers. This isn't based off of informal polling or formal polling of NBA players. This isn't based off of, this is just Ben and Rob?
This is three paragraphs of Ben and Rob.
All right, I'll take it. Fine, it's a jumping off point.
Good enough.
Yeah, fine. So the top 100 players, here are the Celtics. Terry Rozier is 82. Jaylen Brown is 47. Jason Tatum is 39. Gordon Hayward is 25. Kyrie Irving is 17. And Al Horford is 16. According to Ben and Rob. How do you feel about that?
Well, Horford's way too high. Kyrie Irving's the best player on the team and the most valuable player on the team. End of story.
How do they do that? How could they do that?
You don't see all the little things, guys, that Al does and how he facilitates and blah, 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 blah. This is clickbait is what this is. I saw this yesterday and people tweeting about it. I'm not even reading it. I refuse to acknowledge something that puts Al Horford ahead of Kyrie Irving in terms of ranking the top 100 players in the NBA. Screw.
I mean, let's say they were the same age, had same salaries, everything else. Would you trade Horford for Irving? In a minute! Yesterday!
I mean, are you kidding?
Of course! It's like, it's so stupid, it's ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. If they had Kyrie Irving last year but not Al Horford, would they have gotten past Cleveland?
Better. They would have had a better chance. How about that?
No question. Without question. What, Jimmy? Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is maybe they factor in the fact that Horford played 72 regular season games, Irving 60,
ooh,
and Al Horford also had an impact in the playoffs, whereas Kyrie Irving did not.
Now, this I like. That's a take that I like, because Kyrie is unreliable and he was not on the floor for you at the end of the year.
And it's fact-based. I mean, you can't,
well, that is,
you
that
can't
is,
argue that.
Is that what Bill and Tom are talking about there?
No, that was me.
Was it Robin who?
Bill and Tom's basketball adventure. All right.
Robin Tom, is that who it is?
Do they base it? Like, how's Al in the advanced metrics?
Does he I'm sure he's good.
Does he do well in, like, all those?
I'm sure he does.
All those nerd stats? So are they just basing this on, like, per 30 minutes, I mean, I can't remember all the crap.
No,
that,
well, of course. I mean, they don't factor in silly things like
given
scoring.
The wide variety of candidates involved and the deep analytical resources available, no single definitive criteria was used to form this list.
No, really. Again, I mean,
instead, rankings were assigned based on fluid combination of subjective assessment and objective data. This list is an attempt to evaluate each player in a vacuum, independent of his current team context as much as possible.
Well,
a player's prospect beyond 2018-19 season did not play a part in this ranking prospect. And it goes on and on and on.
Okay, but so in a vacuum, Horford should fare even worse.
Correct.
In a team setting, now you're talking about Horford's value, setting screens, playing defense, blah, blah, blah. So, like,
he's got high basketball IQ.
All of that intangible crap that people give us with Al Horford, which is real. It's just overrated, but it's real. So in a team concept, he's more valuable. In an individual concept?
No, please, asinine. I told you. Again, you want to get into some of the finer points, Horford does them well. But silly me, I like to actually put value on things like, I don't know.
Points and rebounds?
Shooting. Like the ability to actually create your own shot. And I don't know, you know, what do they call it when you put the ball in the basket? Oh, scoring!
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, all I know is Kyrie can go for 50 at any moment's notice and has one of the best handles I've ever seen. Like, the idea that Horford would be more valuable than Kyrie Irving, to me, is preposterous, colossally stupid. It makes me want to take that SI and light it on fire. I was going to say something else, but I can't. Wipe my backside with it and then light it on fire. How about that? It's a waste. Al Horford ahead of Kyrie Irving, that is just stupid.
Jimmy Stewart, honestly, because you're a big Al Horford guy. You're one of the presidents of the Al Horford fan club. If you were starting a team and you could pick Kyrie Irving or Al Horford first, who would you take?
I'd take Kyrie Irving.
Okay, thank you. So will
the Knicks.
So you disagree. So you disagree with this list.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't put Horford ahead of Irving, but I games played, playoff impact, I could see why they did. You know, Draymond Green is ranked 13th on this list.
Ahead of both of them.
I mean, that's stupid, too. That is stupid, too. I mean, that's just, you know, so again, I don't know what type of, it feels like they're weighing intangibles awfully, you know, awfully high on that list. I just think that that league largely comes down to ability and athleticism. You know, and then we can talk about balls and stuff like that. But James Harden, as much as I hate him, is a top 5'10" player in the league because of his ability, his pure ability.
Who is 18 and 19 are interesting names.
Nikola Jokic and Yusef Nurkic.
Who is their top five, Jimmy?
LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, James Harden, and Anthony Davis.
That's about right.
Right.
So yeah, that's about right.
Harden's in there, but you wouldn't want him anywhere near your team.
Correct. But again, in terms of raw ability, he's one of the best players in the league. And no two ways about it. He can dribble, he can shoot, he can pass, like all of that. He's a knucklehead, though, and that's ultimately what's going to do him in. So I'm sorry. Al Horford ahead of Kyrie Irving, that's just silly. What are we playing, real basketball or virtual basketball? Like, I would like to know.
Go ask Alan Tom or whatever.
Rob and Tom.
All right, so you can weigh in on that if you want. 617-779-0985. All the Patriots stuff on the board, too. Again, if you're the Patriots, how do you handle Gronkowski this week? With you, long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Any conversations with Jalen Ramsey this week?
No, I don't have his number. He doesn't have mine.
That was Gronk. That was his first question on the Jalen Ramsey thing yesterday. And he went on, and he was good-natured about it. And, here's just another snippet. Here's more with, and again, Jalen Ramsey, that loudmouth corner in Jacksonville, did a series of interviews in the offseason, GQ, blah, 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 and at one point said Gronkowski's not as great as everyone thinks that he is when he plays against a corner. He's not as good as when he plays against safeties, and he's just not as good as everyone thinks that he is. And so, asking for Rob Gronkowski's reaction to all of that.
What are your thoughts about him saying stuff about you?
I mean, that's how he feels. I mean, it's a big game this Sunday. We're playing them. I'm sure I'm going to have opportunities to go versus him. I'm sure he's going to have opportunities to go versus me. So I'm just preparing like I always prepare. I got to just do my job out on the field and just worry about that.
Does that motivate you, Gronk?
For sure. I mean, there's always motivation you're looking for. I mean, it does and it doesn't.
You think it's like...
So, it's tricky right there. It doesn't give you the answer you're looking for. That was a trick question. You're trying to get me to say something, right? All right. But it does and it doesn't. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it motivates you. You're hearing that, you know. Obviously, there's something out there that he saw on film and stuff that I could probably get better at football in some certain categories. I mean, you don't always feel the best every single day when you're out on the field, so that's how he feels.
Okay, so he's kind of engaging, kind of not. Do you think Rob Gronkowski wants to have a good day?
Yep.
Of course he does.
Why do you say it like that, Murray?
Well, I mean, look, if Belichick is the master motivator that I think that we all think he is, how easy is this for him to get him pumped up this week? All he has to say is, don't forget, I wanted to trade you, Rob. You know, maybe you're not as great as you think you are. I mean, if you're one of the better cornerbacks in the league, already in the league just only 2 years, saying you're not as great as people think you are, I don't know, go out and prove it this week. Or maybe don't. Maybe you can realize why I wanted to trade you. It's so easy. It's so easy to get him amped up for this. So, and look, the guy's the best tight end I've ever seen in my life. Most people that have watched football, I think, would agree with that, or he's like 1-2. He wants to go out there and prove it and shut this kid up. He's been in the league 2 years, and I think he's a phenomenal cornerback. But, you know, Gronk's been around, what, almost 10 years now? Like, go out there. How can you not? If you're Gronk, how do you not want to go out there and shove it right down his throat?
Oh, my God. I would love to see it. I just hope we get to see it.
Don't they have to put Ramsey on him?
I mean, I would think. Like, where else are you going to put Ramsey?
I mean,
Chris Hogan?
When Ramsey says that, you know, he's not as good against a corner as he is against a safety. Isn't he talking about he wouldn't be as good against me?
Yep.
Isn't that basically what he's saying?
Pretty much.
So, you know.
I'll tell you what. It's a ballsy thing to say, though, to take on Gronk one-on-one.
Huh?
It's a ballsy thing to say because Gronk is a complete animal. I mean, he's just a freak. 6'6", big. Like, who would really want to take him on? Just looking at him, he's intimidating. So I give Ramsey credit for that because I actually think, you know, I think Ramsey could do a half decent. I'd like to see it.
So we didn't grab it, but just reading the transcript, one of the reporters asked Gronkowski, one of the things he said is that when you face an elite corner, you catch percentage goes down. Oh, maybe Ramsey knew this. So one of the things he said is that when you face an elite corner, your catch percentage goes down from 71% to 56%. What do you think about that? Well, I'll that's some good percentages. Still, I mean, I don't really go into statistics like that. Let's go play ball. That's basically it.
Numbers confuse.
But do you think his catch percentage goes up from 71 to 56 when he plays corners?
Sure.
And what corner plays him? Like, I can't even think.
Probably not that many examples. I mean, I don't remember. Like,
Tlaib probably did.
I was going to ask that. I was going to say, did Tlaib get him when they played Denver?
I think so.
I mean, it's got to be somebody who's got, you know, some toughness and some size. Because you can't put a 5'9 corner on him. I mean, that's not going to work. So, but the thing with I think Ramsey's strong. I think he's fast. Like, he's clearly cocky. So the one thing he doesn't have that Gronk does is height.
But I think you said this yesterday, Maz. If you just said this today, I'm sorry. I missed it. But putting Ramsey on anyone else on the Patriots is a waste of their time.
Huge waste.
They don't. Their second corner, Bouye, or is that who it is?
Yeah, AJ Bouye, yeah.
And whoever their third, whatever those guys are, they should be able to handle Chris Hogan and last week, notwithstanding, Philip Dorsett.
Absolutely. And even then, I would say edge to Jacksonville.
It should be.
Yeah, like they'll get the matchup edge on that one. In fact, if they want an even matchup, Ramsey Hogan, then what they're going to have to do is cut off one of Jalen Ramsey's legs. Then it'll be an even matchup.
Well, so I'll tell you. And so that's one piece. But the other piece was, if I'm the Patriots, again, they threw to him eight times yesterday, last Sunday. There were four balls down the seams. There were a couple more in double coverage. Typically, they don't expose Gronkowski like that week in, week out in the regular season. They pick their spots with him, especially that seam route where he is just a freight train, you know, barreling into a safety or just, you know, and that's where he's gotten some of his biggest injuries of his career. TJ Ward took him out on that. He got concussed last year. Chandler or Thomas, again, I keep forgetting who laid
Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas with Seattle with the chest thing. It's usually on that route. And they ran it three or four times last week. And I that's more than they want. This is a game Gronkowski wants. It's a game the Patriots want. This is a Jacksonville defense that can hit. They knocked him out of the game last year on that play. Do you just protect Gronkowski from himself? And is this one of these games where, okay, guys, beat your chest and do what you got to do in week 2. It's week 2. We'll see in January. We're not going to expose our best players in this kind of game.
I mean, in another year.
I mean, what's smart?
The smart thing to do is protect him. But honestly, I'm not sure that if they want the game, if Bill takes Jacksonville seriously, if Bill looks at Jacksonville and says, oh, you know what? They're the best team in that division. We could see them in the playoffs. And he wants the game in Foxborough, he's got to take the game seriously. Doesn't he? You tell me.
I just don't know if I'm treating Jacksonville like that yet. I'm just not. I don't know. I don't view them like I viewed Denver in those years, or I mean, Baltimore in those years, or Indy in the Peyton Manning years. So that goes back to how we started the show. Like, how seriously do you take that Jacksonville team?
Do you think Jacksonville can go 11-5?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, a lot of people around the country are picking the Patriots at 11-5. So if that's the number, don't you have to win the game if you want home field?
All right, so there's that item on the list with the basketball conversation and everything else Patriots-wise. So let's bring it by with Derek in Foxborough on that SI list. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, I think Al Horford's position is fine. I mean, 16th with all he does to make his teammates better. But I think the biggest problem is Kyrie is way too low. I mean, Kyrie's a top five player in the league when he's healthy. I mean, to have him 17th is just way too low. And I know it's not like a statistical thing. They just kind of put him there, but still.
Okay, so I don't know if Kyrie's a hands-down top five.
I don't think he is, actually. I think he's top 10.
Yeah, he's a top 10.
And he's better than Horford.
And he's certainly better than Horford. No question. More impactful, more teams would take. I mean, is there a team in the league, if you're drafting the league, that would draft Al Horford ahead of Kyrie Irving?
No.
I mean, is there anyone?
No.
I mean, who would do that?
Nobody.
Maybe Orlando, because they're
nobody.
Stupid.
But I mean, seriously. So what is, again, what Bill and Tom's big adventure there? What are they doing?
I mean, so again, like, you asked who the top five were on that list, right? So 6 through 10, the Greek Freak.
Okay, so Kyrie Irving or the Greek Freak?
I'd take Kyrie. Murray?
I'd probably go with Giannis.
We allowed to factor in, you know, again,
the
Jimmy's
injury.
Thing.
You have
yes.
to think about the injury.
Durability.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, I take Russell Westbrook.
Kyrie. Chris Paul.
You're taking Kyrie over Westbrook?
I am. I can't stand Russell Westbrook. He's talented. I think he's a knucklehead, though. To me, he's like James Harden 2.0.
Well, of course he's a knucklehead. Well, if we start factoring that thing, there's no one I want in the league. It's tough to find a non-knucklehead.
I'm just saying that I think it gets in the way of winning. Like, there are some guys who are knuckleheads that can still win.
James Harden or Kyrie?
Kyrie.
Yeah. So, like, I'm with you on that. I there's something about Westbrook's power and size that I think is just.
Oh, he's a monster.
So I just, even with all of his jackassery, I still have to go Westbrook there. Keep going. Who's seven?
Okay, seven was Russell Westbrook. Okay, eight is Chris Paul.
The hell out of here.
Irving.
Nine is Joel Embiid.
No. Mass? I'm taking Irving.
I'd take Irving.
Wow, that's big of you.
I'm sorry. Joel Embiid, I take Embiid.
Oh, where is he at that one?
No. Sorry. I had Jimmy Butler on my screen. Jimmy Butler's 10.
I don't know who you were talking about.
No, Jimmy Butler's 10. I take Irving over Jimmy Butler. I like the big guys, so I lean towards Embiid there.
Okay. And then Butler's, you said 10 or 11?
Butler's 10.
Okay. That's way too high.
I think so, too. But once you get to that caliber of player at number 10, like, interestingly, Paul George, I think, is 11, right? So that one gets a little
George
closer.
George Irving.
Healthy George, I take George.
Come on.
And then Kawhi Leonard is 12.
I go Kawhi there, too.
Same. So now, and then you get into Draymond. But if you take out a couple of those guys from 5 to 10 that we talked about, Irving's a top 10, top 12 player in the league. He's ahead of Horford. It's not even close.
Horford and Jimmy Butler. What kind of team are we building here?
Jimmy Butler.
With a team that's going to win on defense.
Here's Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. Back to your phones.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.